wrap up our Called to Care series. We've been in this series for 6 weeks, and even if this is just your first day or part of this series, we welcome you into this time together. Over the past 6 weeks, we have heard from numerous voices, we've looked at multiple biblical texts, and we have repeated the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, to care for the least of these. We have become aware of needs in the world. We have felt God's call to care. We've had opportunities to share, and we have covered all that we have done in prayer. We have been praying for situations in the world, for ministries that we've learned about. We've been praying about our own participation in God's work in our world. We have prayed that God would take whatever we share and multiply it to meet needs. We've prayed for aid to get to places where people are starving. We've prayed for peace in war-torn regions. We've prayed for the end of hunger and thirst. We've prayed little prayers, and we've prayed big prayers. We have prayed ongoing prayers and one-time prayers. We have prayed prayers that we saw obvious answers to and prayers that seem to go nowhere. But the call to care is a call to prayer. Our whole lives are meant to be immersed in prayer. But that is hard. Do you ever feel like you don't pray enough? Or do you ever feel like we pray too much? How much should we pray? What should our attitude be about prayer? If you haven't guessed it yet, this is what we're talking about today, prayer. And so here's a little side note. If you never struggle to pray, if you always pray and you never ever give up, then go ahead. You can daydream for a little while. You could just make your grocery list for the week. This message is not for you. It's for those of us who sometimes struggle to pray. And we find out what Jesus says about that in Luke chapter 18. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." So I read this and I think, why would Jesus tell his disciples about prayer? Why did they need to be taught about prayer? They were with Jesus all of the time. They saw him pray. They heard him pray. They watched him withdraw to pray. They prayed with them. Everywhere they went, they saw him being with God. He showed them how to pray. He taught them their own prayer. So how did they not already know that they should always pray and not give up? Well, obviously, if Jesus felt the need to illustrate this need for prayer, the disciples were struggling just like we do. Apparently, he was concerned that they would not pray and that they would not persist in prayer. And because Jesus knew what was ahead for them. And Jesus knew that they would need to be in prayer always. Jesus teaches this to the disciples who are soon going to watch him die, to see him resurrected, and then return to God. He knows that when he's gone, they will be left to try to fill out the commands that he left with them as they wait for him to return. He knows that they will face enemies and persecution, and that they're going to be tempted to lean on themselves when hard times come. So Jesus tells them a story. He tells them a parable to teach them and to teach us about prayer. Knowing what life would be like for all followers of Jesus, he makes sure to tell us that we should always pray and not give up. And Jesus does this with a story because stories connect. We can hear a story or read a story and draw the lines, get the big concepts, and hearing a story, whether it's true or made up, is something that we relate to. We were meant to hear stories. One of my favorite quotes is, God made people because God loves stories. We are part of this greater story that God is writing. And this parable is one of the rare ones in the Gospels that tells you what it's about before you actually read it or hear it. This story makes no qualms about what it's doing. The story is intended to teach the hearer that they should always pray and not give up. So as we look at this parable, we find that it is a parable of comparison. There are a couple characters in this text, and we can use them as, like, think of if you were still in language arts in high school, or maybe they called it English back in the day, in language arts class in high school, and you'd get this assignment that says, you know what, read this parable and compare and contrast. This is a parable that sets us up to be able to do that in a beautiful way. So here we go. We're going to meet our first character. Verse 2, Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So we meet the first character in the story who's a judge, and he's not good. Nope, he's not fair. In fact, the two things that Jesus says about him are about as bad as you could get. This man who doesn't fear God or care about people is a person who doesn't care about the greatest two commandments that Jesus taught. When his disciples said, "Lord, what are I have no idea. It's about the commandments, but there was a word in there that I just totally lost. Lord, which commandments are the greatest?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself." This guy's the opposite of that. He does not fear or love the Lord, and he could care less about his neighbor. So if you needed help, this is the last judge that you would want to be assigned. This is the courtroom that you would want to avoid. This is a bad judge. Verse 3, second character. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" The second character is a widow. This is a woman who has lost her husband and faces the reality of first century life as a widow. In the first century, as a widow, she was one of many, and she had very low social status. She could have been old, she could have been young, she was likely recognized by her clothing, and she had no one to represent her. In the culture, you needed a husband, you needed a man to represent you in court. She had no one, and she is alone and powerless, she has very few rights and easily picked on, hence she has an adversary. Someone is holding something up against her or for her or in some kind of way that she is seeking justice. She is struggling and seeking justice, and she gets assigned the judge that doesn't care. She gets the worst one in the whole system. So verse 4 goes on. It says, "For some time the judge refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God and I don't care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out.'" And now we do the work of comparing and contrasting to ask, why does Jesus use this story to illustrate that we should always pray and never give up? So we're going to start with the widow and notice two things about her. The first thing about her is that she recognizes her dependence. She cannot get what she wants on her own. She is dependent on the good grace of others. She needs a judge to decide her case for her. Because of her position and her need, she has nowhere else to turn but to the courts and to this judge. Her situation is desperate. There's nowhere else to go. She needs something to be done, and no one else can grant it. She knows that she cannot do this. She cannot stand up to her adversary on her own. She needs a power outside of herself in order to receive what she wants and needs. The second thing about her is that she refuses to give up. This woman planned to persist until she got what she needed. I picture her following the judge around. She showed up at his office. She followed him to Starbucks. She set up a lawn chair in his front yard. She was there in the stands at his kid's little league baseball game. She sidled up next to him in the produce section of the grocery store. "Hey, it's me. I still need something from you." Whatever she needed was too important. She had to take the time to see it through. She had nothing to lose and everything to gain. She kept showing up to ask, and she had an unmatched tenacity. She was going to wear that judge down. So in this parable, the widow is the person we are to compare ourselves to. In this parable where Jesus said we should always pray and never give up, we are the widow in the story, and we can learn something from this nuisance. Like her, we need to recognize our dependence. We need to recognize our dependence on God. And this is something that we should understand. This is the kind of language that we use all the time. We talk about God as all-powerful. We talk about God as an all-loving Father. Well, all of these things point us to the fact that we're children who are dependent on this heavenly parent. God is our provider. We hear we can ask for anything. We read the Psalms that say things like, "Whom have I in heaven but you? Or you alone are God." We sing things like, "Lord, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Every day I need you." But Jesus teaches this parable because he assumes that his followers are going to forget to always pray and that we are going to sometimes give up. And like the widow in the story, we are dependent on someone more powerful than we are. But unlike the widow, we often think we have somewhere else to go. Oftentimes, we find ourselves saying, I have my own resources to solve this problem. I can buy my way out of this. I have a friend who often says, you know, I love a problem that I can throw money at. I can just buy my way out of. We find maybe I can work hard enough or seek medical professionals or lawyers or judges or use my own smarts or looks or charm or prestige. I can work my way out of this. We so value our independence, which starts from the time when we are little. Have you ever had someone say to you, someone tiny, I can do it myself? My little Ami one day was like, I can do it my own self. My own fluff, or look, Mom, no hands, or let me do it, back off. We just want to be independent, and we live in a culture that applauds independence, that celebrates the self-made person, that urges people to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, a culture that says dependence is weak, so we strive to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, and independent, and that's why it's hard to pray. It's hard to pray when we don't think we need it or when we think we can handle things, especially the simplest things like day-to-day life. But as the children of God, we're not supposed to be independent. God says, depend on me, come to me. We're supposed to go to God for everything, big and small. Mike read the Lord's Prayer this morning as Jesus taught to his disciples, and you see this dependence on God to say, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, not give me bread for the rest of my life, not give me bread for the next week or month. I need to come to you every day, Lord, for daily bread. I need to come to you all the time, Lord, for forgiveness for myself and for others. We go to God constantly for the ability to withstand temptation and be delivered from evil. We're supposed to depend on God for everything. So the rest of the chapter of Luke, after Jesus teaches this parable, there are these stories about humility and need and dependence to continue to teach us as followers of Jesus that we have nowhere else to go but God. When you reach a crisis or a loss, where do you go first? We need more than just good wishes or warm thoughts to sustain us. More than just good vibes from friends and neighbors. It is the power of God, the peace of God, and the presence of God that covers everything that we need. And so the widow in the story recognizes her dependence. She knows she has nowhere else to go. And when we realize that we too are dependent on God, we will learn to always pray and not give up. So this widow knows that she's dependent. And secondly, she refused to give up. Does this ever happen to you? Do you ever pray a prayer and then forget about it? Just sort of throw it out there and move on? Or have you ever told someone you would pray for them and then you forget to pray for them? Or do you ever pray for something and not see any answers or not see any movement and then just move on or give up on that prayer? It's hard to persist. It's hard to persist because we wear ourselves out. We get busy, we get distracted, we don't get answers, we don't get what we want, or we don't get things quickly enough, or whatever we're asking from God just seems flat out impossible. Jesus teaches this parable because it's about somebody who does not get fast results. He uses her as an example of persisting in prayer, of asking over and over and over again. We should always pray and never give up. We should persist like this nagging old widow. We should persist like the kid that you know that never stops badgering. Mom, 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 mom. The one that when you say no says, well, I'll go ask the other person. The one that when you say no just asks again in a different way or waits for 15 minutes to ask. To persist like a child that never stops asking because they're asking someone who loves them. You should persist like that dog that never stops barking. You should persist like Elizabeth Warren, nevertheless persisting. You should persist like dust, like literal dust in your home. Have you ever noticed you go to dust something and 32 seconds later, the dust is back. It is persistent.
to persist in prayers, to keep coming back over and over and over again. I distinctly remember a conversation with a man years ago who told a story about how he had come to know Jesus, how he wasn't a believer in Christ and how he had come to know Jesus. But he said he had a friend that prayed for him for 17 years for him to come to know Christ. Talk about persistent. Maybe you pray for that prayer. You pray a prayer, I want this friend to come to know Christ. And then you pray for a year, and then you pray for a year, and then you pray for 3 years. And then you maybe think, this is never going to happen. This must be impossible. For 17 years, this friend persisted until this man came to know and love Jesus. It's so hard to keep praying when we ask for things that seem impossible, when we don't see answers. It's so hard to wait, but Jesus says it's no reason to stop. We need to keep on praying and trusting that God is working even when we don't see quick answers. A question for all of us today, is there a prayer that I have given up? So in this parable, we can compare ourselves to this widow and follow her example and recognize our dependence on God and refuse to give up. But the story also has another character, and this character is the one to contrast. Sometimes when Jesus tells a parable, one of the characters is meant to represent God, like the compassionate father in the Luke 15 story of the prodigal son. That character represents God, but in this parable, we don't have someone representing God. We have the opposite. In this parable, the judge does not represent God. The judge is there for contrast, to show us what God is not like. To the judge in the story, the widow was a nuisance, just another number with no name. She was another poor sap whose fate was in his hands, and he did not fear God, nor did he care about people. He was the kind of judge that would have taken a bribe. To get in to see him or to get what you want, you had to fill his pockets or his belly. And this woman could not, so he just does not bother. The widow had no relationship with the only person that could help, the only person who could grant her what she needed. So we compare ourselves to her and we contrast with the God that we know. Contrast that God to the wicked judge. Verse 6, Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And then Jesus says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. This parable shows us what God is not like. God does not get annoyed when you try to follow God around. This parable is not to say that if we bother God enough, God will relent and answer. It doesn't mean that you can wear our God down or be so annoying that he answers just to get rid of you. The God that we follow, the God who says, depend on me, isn't bribable. God doesn't need anything from you or from me. Prayer is not a bargaining relationship. It's not a negotiation. It's a conversation with someone who loves you. So a prayer doesn't have to be, Lord, if you do dot, 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 I will do this. It's not a bargain. Lord, I will do this if you help me do this. How about in high school, did you ever pray, I know I didn't study for this test, but Lord, if you help me get an A on it, I promise I will be nice to my brother, or I will study the next time. This kind of bargain, that's not prayer. It's not meant to be a bargaining thing. God doesn't need anything from us. God has everything that he needs. But what God wants more than anything is a relationship with us. We cannot wear God out. The God who does not sleep or slumber is not going to get annoyed. It's never too much. So we can persist. Followers of Jesus persist in following God around, and asking and praying and being there all the time. And I know, personally, my life is more like asking God to follow me around. Here's what I got on my schedule today, Lord. Please come with me. Please bless me. Please do whatever, rather than saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you in all the day. I'm going to keep looking to you and seeing where you are and being there. In contrast to the judge, this God that we serve, this God that we read about, loves you. He loves us. This God listens and wants to answer. This God knows your name. This God knows what you want before you even ask for it, and loves it when we pray because we're admitting our dependence. We're showing our love and opening ourselves up to experience the presence of God. And God wants us to ask. This God is all-powerful and can do anything. There is nothing impossible for our God, who has all the time in the world to answer. That's the hardest thing to understand, that God works outside of time, and that's why Jesus says, the God will answer quickly all the things that can happen. Our God who works outside of time has a different idea of what quick is, I'm just going to say, than we do. Do you know there's a hymn in our hymnal that has this phrase, singing to the Lord, "We know you are working who seldom work fast." Have you ever felt like that? I know you're working, but could you speed it up, Lord? I would like to see this faster. Persisting in prayer, knowing that God will answer quickly, means knowing, waiting for God to answer in whatever quickly it means to God. I'm sure it didn't seem that way to the man that prayed for his friend for 17 years. If you're familiar with the Alpha program, it's the Introduction to Christian Faith. And one of the videos, the person presenting says this about God. He says, God can appropriate a prayer from next week and apply it to an event from last month. God has all eternity to answer a split-second prayer of a driver in a car accident. We know you are working who seldom work fast. Because this God is eternal, has always been and always will be, and has all the time in the world, and asks us to persistently pray, because persistent prayer puts us persistently before God. Right where God wants us, right where we belong, the only place we have to go, before the God who never gives up on us, and the Jesus who has everything that we need. At the end of the story, Jesus asked the listeners a question. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's a legitimate question Jesus asks. Will he find faith? Will he find people who pray, who trust, who believe, who know they have nowhere else to go, who persist? Who persist in the belief that God is the only one who can meet our needs, to hear and answer our heart's desires? How will Jesus find us today? Again, a question to ask yourself, is there a prayer that I have stopped praying? And am I depending on something or someone other than God? As we wrap up this series, we do not wrap up our care for the world, and we can't stop praying. We need Jesus to help us to continue in our own lives and in the call to care and share and pray. And some of the things that Jesus calls us to seem simple and some seem insurmountable. I mean, feeding one person is doable, but ending hunger? Providing clean water for a village is possible through Covenant World Relief and Development, but clean water for the whole world? Welcoming a stranger shouldn't be difficult, but reforming our systems of immigration and refugee resettlement? Sending a card to someone who is sick is easy, but eradicating diseases, sharing clothes with people who need them is super easy if you're part of Bloomington Covenant Church, because we have Closet of Hope. We can do it all the time, but ending poverty? Partnering with a ministry to help people in prison could be something you could do, but freeing people who are wrongfully incarcerated? There are things that seem doable and things that seem impossible, but where we start and end is the same place with prayer. Knowing that we are dependent on God, none of these things are possible without the power and intervention of God. Without God empowering his people to care and to move and to act, God is the one who provides in all kinds of ways, and we pray refusing to give up. As long as there are people who are hungry, as long as there are people who are thirsty, as long as there are people who need clothes and shelter, as long as there are people who are sick and in prison, we will persist in prayer. Jesus says, always pray and never give up, and I will answer quickly. As quickly as I deem necessary. Today, to emphasize this, we're going to spend a little time in prayer in this space, both individually and corporately. I'm going to lead us through a prayer that follows Jesus' words in Matthew 25. And during that time, I'll leave a little space of silence as we list each of those things that Jesus calls us to care about. And in that space, you can ask God to work boldly. Pray the loudest, or pray the biggest and the boldest and the most impossible prayer that you can think of. Share your heart with the Lord for people who are hungry and thirsty, etc. And in the end, we're going to speak together the words of the Lord's Prayer, which will appear on the screen. So here's a couple choices. In your bulletin, there's an insert about the impact team. You could use that and jot your prayers down and journal your prayers while you're sitting there. And secondly, if you want to pray by yourself in your space, feel free to. If there's someone that you're sitting near or you want to sit near and pray together in that time, feel free to pray together. I'll leave some space. I'm going to give you a minute to think about what your posture of prayer will be. Lord Jesus, we have been listening to your call to care for the past 6 weeks. As we finish this series, we know that the work continues. You call us to be aware of needs in the world, to allow you to move us to care, to participate in opportunities to share, and we come to you, Lord, in prayer for your help. We know that without you, we will fall short of the high goal that you have set for us, so we declare that we are dependent on you. We trust that when you say that all things are possible for you, it's true. And so we boldly ask for you to work on behalf of the most vulnerable people in the world. We care about our neighbors in Bloomington and Richfield and Edina and Burnsville. We care about Greater Minnesota, our nation, and our whole world. So hear our prayers today, Lord. We pray for those who are hungry. We pray, Lord, for those who lack clean water. We pray for people who lack a home or a homeland. We pray for those who need clothes. We pray for those who are sick. And we pray for people in prison. We pray, Lord, trusting that you can make the impossible possible, an end to hunger and thirst. You can cause peace in war-torn nations. the end of poverty and disease, and an alternative to mass incarceration. Give us the compassion and the stamina to keep on praying. And knowing that there are a million more things we could pray about, Lord, we end by joining in the prayer that you taught to your followers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.